Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, verses 44 to 53. Dashanam nadirikshur nandehi bhagavata chitam rupam pyatamam sanam saranyagunanjanam. Translation. My dear Lord, I wish to see you exactly in the form that your very dear devotees worship. You have many other forms, but I wish to see your form that is especially liked by the devotees. Please be merciful upon me and show me that form, for only that form, worshipped by the devotees, can perfectly satisfy all the demands of the senses. So today we have a very simple flip chart, not like last time where we had pages and pages and pages of different notes. So you should copy this one also with the camera of your mind. It is the form of Lord Krishna, Shyama Sundara. That is what we will discuss today, the different parts in the beautiful body of Lord Krishna. So let us review what we learned, because we learned quite a lot in the last class. We started with Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and then from Aniruddha we studied the sun god, Agni, the moon god, and anybody else besides the moon god? Let's see. Universal form, then Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, finally Lord Krishna, and after Lord Krishna, Rudra also. So does anybody remember anything about the qualities of Vasudeva?
All pervading,
yes. That you probably knew that before. Yes.
Undisturbed.
Undisturbed. Yes. And the quality that Lord Shiva stressed, or actually one quality, was swastaye. Lord Shiva prayed, please be auspicious for me. And another quality was bhuta sukshmendriyatmane, controller of the senses and sense objects. So in this regard, what prayer did Lord Shiva pray according to Srila Prabhupada? What was behind these words? Bhuta sukshmendriyatmane, Lord of the senses and sense objects. Lord Shiva had a prayer there. So he prayed, please do not let me be misled by the material senses, but engage always in the service of the Lord without subject to contamination. So then Lord Shiva prayed to Lord Sankarshan. Anybody remember qualities of Lord Sankarshan? Yeah, Vanmali? Creator and destroyer. He's the Lord of integration and disintegration. Is that what you were going to say? Yes. The Lord of, yes, Amarvanpuri. He's the origin of the subtle. Is that what you're saying? Subtle material elements. Right.
Unsurpassable.
Okay. So then Pradyumna. Pradyumna is Lord of the intelligence. And Aniruddha. Aniruddha is Lord of the mind. So any prayer in relationship to Lord Aniruddha, or Lord Shiva? So many prayers, actually, but anything specifically? Don't remember. Okay, I'll revive your memory. Please help me engage my mind in meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. Then, Aniruddha's expansion as a sun god known as Paramahansa. So, what is the significance of the sun god as Paramahansa? What's that? Yes, he takes all the impure things. He takes the what? He takes the pure things and leaves the impure things. But actually, he even takes the impure things, yes?
He's a sun god.
Sun god, yes. He's a sun god, Paramahansa. Bhatri? He purifies. He doesn't leave the dirty things in our heart. He takes them also. Yes, Manvan Puri.
Purifier of the mind.
Purifier of the mind. Right. Right. Hmm. Sun God purifies our mind. So Lord Shiva prays to the Sun God, please be kind so my mind will always be in the perfect state of cleanliness and engaged in devotional service of the Lord. So Agni, how does Agni help the devotees and the karmis as well? What's that? Surya and Agni. What's the difference? They're two different demigods. Actually, yes. Inspiration, yes. The energy of Agni. Srila Prabhupada said, just as heat is the source of material energy, the inspiration of Lord Aniruddha is the energy by which one can engage in executing devotional service. So in relationship to Pitriloka, Lord Shiva prays, please give me strength so I can be free from obligations to the sages, pitas, and demigods, and entirely engage in Krishna's service. So Soma, what are the characteristics of Soma that we learned? Adipurush.
Master of all tastes.
Master of taste, yes, at Manudapuri. Maintainer of the pitris and the devas. Yes, Patri? He gives satisfaction to everyone. And one more thing about Soma.
Master of the Vedas.
What?
Master of the Vedas.
And another thing. Atma? All-pervading, super so. And one important thing also, he's the predominating deity of the mind. So there's four names. Manomaya, predominating deity of the mind. Sarvamaya, he satisfies everyone. And Anamaya, he gives a taste. And one more, Amritamaya, he gives life to all living entities. So therefore, Lord Shiva prays to Aniruddha in the form of the moon to give him strength so he'll not taste anything but prasadam of the Lord. So then sound vibration. What was the prayer to the Lord in the form of sound? Madhavan Puri.
Oh.
Artha, yeah. Lingaya Navase. He's the meaning. Yes. Sound vibration reveals the meaning of everything, material and spiritual. Madangopa? You know, not yet. We're in the sound right now. Sound vibration. Oh, I forgot. Is that after? That's before. Oh, yes. Vishwarupa. Okay. What about Vishwarupa? What do we know? According to Lord Shiva. Qualities of the Vishwarupa. Maintainer of three planetary systems, as well as the mind, senses, body, and air of life. And what else do we learn about the universal form? Patri? Yes, he contains all bodies, including we're just like a little germ or a little cell in the body of the Vishwarupa. So now, back to the sound vibration, Artha Lingaya Navase. What was Lord Shiva's prayer to sound, to the sound? Lord in the form of sound. Madhavendra. Yes, please help me chant Hare Krishna so I can understand everything in the material and the spiritual worlds. So then we heard about Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And so which word in the Sanskrit leads us to believe that the verse was about Bhagavan? Krishna. Krishna. Purana, Purusha. Adi Purusha. Okay? And the last verse was about Rudra. So today's verses, Lord Shiva will describe the beautiful form of the Lord which he aspires to fix his mind upon. So our first realization by chanting Hare Krishna is to realize the form of the Lord. So today we'll have our wonderful flip chart of the form of the Lord. You can meditate on the different parts of Lord Krishna's body as we discuss these verses. And copy it down, as I said again, with the camera of your mind or your heart. So which form does Lord Shiva want to see the Lord in? Which form of Krishna? Madhavendra. Vrindavan with the gopis. Govinda. So in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada says, in the Shruti or Veda mantra, it is said, Supreme Absolute Truth is Sarvakama, Sarvagandha, Sarvarasa. Or in other words, he is known as Raso Avai Saha, source of all relishable relationships, rasas. So Krishna's form, we hear about Krishna's form, that it has Sarvagandha, the most wonderful fragrance. Does anybody know what is the fragrance of Krishna's form? It's a combination. Yes, Adi Purusha.
Aguru.
Musk.
Sandalwood.
Camphor? Very good. So you put these four things together and you'll smell. You'll have an idea. Offer it to Krishna, and then you'll have an idea of what Krishna smells like. Sarvakama, he fulfills all desires. Savarasa, all relationships. So in paragraph 2, Srila Prabhupada says, in the middle of the purport, the words rupam, priyatamam, swanam are specifically mentioned here, indicating that Lord Shiva wants to see that form which is very dear to the devotees. The word swanam is especially significant because only the devotees are very, very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The gyanis, yogis, and karmis are not particularly dear, for the karmis simply want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their order supplier. So Prabhupada says he is not gyani vatsala or yogi vatsala, he's bhakta vatsala. The gyanis want to see him to become one with him, and the yogis want to see him partially represented within their heart as Paramatma. But the bhaktas, or devotees, want to see him in his complete perfection. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Venum karanta maravinda dalayatakshan Parahavatam samasitam buddhasuntarangam Kandarapakotikamaniya visheshishokam Govinda Madhupurishandamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing on his flute, whose eyes are blooming like lotus petals, whose head is bedecked with peacock feathers, whose beauty is tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charms millions of cupids. Thus, Lord Shiva's desire is to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is described in this way. That is, he wants to see him as he appears to the Bhagavatas, the devotees. Conclusion is, Lord Shiva wants to see him in complete perfection and not in the impersonalist or voidist way. Although the Lord is one in his various forms, Advaita Machuta Manadim, still his form as the young enjoyer of the gopis, companion of the cowherd boys, Kishore Murti, is the most perfect form. Thus Vaishnavas accept the form of the Lord in his Vrindavan pastimes as the chief form. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining to us, in case we don't know, which form is most dear to the devotees. So in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 26, Kishore Murti is described. That Kishore Murti, the age 10 up to 15, is Kaishora. May be divided into three parts. In the beginning of his Kaishara age, the beginning of his 11th year, the luster of his body becomes so bright it becomes an impetus for ecstatic love. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes and a growth of soft hairs on his body. The Kaishara age, beginning from 11th year, continuing up to the end of 15th year, Krishna's arms, legs, and thighs become marked with three divisional lines. At that time, Krishna's chest challenged a hill of Marakata jewels, his arm challenged pillars of Indralila jewel, the three lines of his waist challenged the waves of river Jamuna, and his thighs challenged beautiful bananas. One gopi said, with all these exquisite features of his body, Krishna is too extraordinarily beautiful, and therefore I am always thinking of him to protect me, because he is the killer of all demons. So this is Kishore Murti. Does anybody else know anything about Kishore Murti of Krishna? And if you don't, then I'll tell you some more. A little bit more from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 26, that a person is called mild when he cannot even bear the touch of the most soft thing. It is described that every part of Krishna's body was so soft, even at the touch of newly grown leaves, the color of the touched part of his skin would change. When I was in Mayapur, then the pujaris were telling me that the Panchatattva deities, they have the same characteristic. That if you touch, you cannot touch their bodies. If you touch their body anywhere, the color will change. The color of their body will change. And very difficult to get it back. Very, very sensitive skin, even with the Panchatattva in Mayapur. So they have this characteristic of changing the color. What's that? The new ones, yeah, the big ones. The very big deities. They have a really hard time figuring out how to keep them effulgent because it takes about 5 or 10 pujaris to bathe one of them. So they trade off. They do one. Once a week they do one deity. And then for 5 or 6 days he has to wait for his next full bath. And then if they touch them in between, then the color of the skin changes. And so this is the deities there. So Bilvamangal Thakur writes, "If we have devotion fixed on you, my Lord, we can easily see your divine form as Kaisharamurti, a young boy." So verse 45-46. Snigdhapavit kanashyamam sarva sandhaya sandham charayata chaturbahu sujata ruchirananam padmakosha palashaksham sundara bhusanasikam sudijam sukapalasyam samakarna vibhushanam. The Lord's beauty resembled a dark cloud during the rainy season. As the rainfall glistens, his bodily features also glisten. Indeed, he is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has 4 arms, an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals, beautiful highly raised nose, a mind-attracting smile, a beautiful forehead, and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. So how is this now? He's saying the Lord has 4 arms, and Prabhupada is saying the Lord has 2 arms. So how do we reconcile this apparent contradiction here, that most beautiful form of Krishna, is it 2-armed or is it 4-armed? Madhavan Puri. Adwaita machuta manari mananta rupam. He has unlimited forms. So how do we resolve this? Which is the most beautiful? Who can say? Patri. You vote for Shamsundara. Yes. Anybody vote for anybody else? Madhavan Puri. Who? Nityananda, okay. Nityananda is more beautiful in your eyes, yes? Soumya Rupa is too handsome. Okay, you know that verse? Bhagavad Gita says, yes, Soumya Rupa. It's in 11th chapter, right? Soumya Rupa, Manusha Rupa. This is the most beautiful form of Krishna. One form is more beautiful than Krishna. Guess who? Sachinandana Gaurahari. I don't think I can repeat the Sanskrit, but anyway, he's the form of Radharani. Krishna in the mood of Radharani is the most beautiful form. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we can just see that form, then our life is perfect. So yeah, everybody has to go to Mayapur and see the form of Sachinandana. In the form of Panchatattva. Yes. But actually we learned a verse last year that would reconcile this apparent contradiction. And from the 3rd canto. Yes. Yes. That form. He manifests in the heart. Gaurnitai gave me a garland today. Last time it was Radharani. When I was talking about Radharani, I got one from Radharani. Today I talk about Gaurnitai, I get from Gaurnitai. So we're not in control here in this class. Yeah, I wasn't planning on talking, but anyway, it happened that way. They wanted to be glorified, so they became glorified. Okay, what's happening back there? All right. So let's see. In the purport, paragraph 1, Prabhupada says, "After the scorching heat of the summer season, it is very pleasing to see dark clouds in the sky." That's confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Varaha tansamasitam buddhasundarangam. The Lord wears a peacock feather in his hair, and his bodily complexion is just like a blackish cloud. The word sundara or snigdha means very pleasing. Kandarpa koti kamaniya. Krishna's beauty is so pleasing, not even millions upon millions of cupids can compare to it. Lord's form of Vishnu is decorated in all opulence. Therefore, Lord Shiva is trying to see that most opulent form of Narayan or Vishnu. So Prabhupada here in the prayer part, he explains that the worship of the Lord begins with worship of Narayan, whereas worship of Lord Krishna and Radha is most confidential. So what's the difference between worship of Lakshmi Narayan and Radha Krishna? According to Srila Prabhupada, Madhavendrapuri? Vidhimarg. Yes. Lakshmi Narayan is in Vidhimarg and Radha Krishna is in Ragamarg. So Prabhupada said here, although there may be a Radha Krishna vigraha or form, the worship of the neophyte devotees is acceptable as Lakshmi Narayan worship. And then he says just what you said. The principles of Raga Marga are especially meant for devotees who are elevated to the Vrindavan platform. So then in the purport, paragraph 3, Srila Prabhupada gives a warning. Without serving Krishna according to the Vidhi Marga regulative principles of the Panchatiki Vidhi, unscrupulous persons want to jump immediately to the Raga Marga principles. Such persons are called Sahajya. There are also demons who enjoy depicting Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis, taking advantage of Krishna by their licentious character. These demons who print books and write lyrics on Raga Marga principles are surely on the way to hell. Unfortunately, they lead others down with them. Devotees in Krishna consciousness should be very careful to avoid such demons. One or two years ago, I was reading in the newspaper, there was a whole section in the Sunday News all about all these 33 different characteristics of love and the 8 transformations, all these things, but it was in relationship to mundane love or sex life, to people of this world. So just see how people take the scriptures and twist them around. Yes? There's one materialistic scripture which has that. Achcha? I didn't know.
And Srila Prabhupada Swami Pad, he apparently uses some of his principles.
Achcha.
Like Bhagavan Gita says.
Yes?
Bhartamuni.
Achcha. Oh, so maybe they got that book then. I was really shocked when I saw in the newspaper all the things we read in Nectar of Devotion related to.
Achcha.
So Rupa Goswami, Yukta Vairagyam, you're saying here, Yukta Vairagyam, he used everything in Krishna. Of course, originally, you can go back before that, it was for Krishna. And then Bharata Muni copied it, probably, most probably, from Krishna's literature. So originally it's with Krishna because there's one Sanskrit word that explains that completely, why it's originally with Krishna. And it can be derived from the first verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, that's it. It's in there. It's from Janmadyasya. Adi, Adiras. Prabhupada explains in the purport, Adiras is only with Krishna. This is Adiras. So Prabhupada gives a reason why we shouldn't be so familiar with Krishna if we're neophyte devotees. So just like if you have a friend, you make a friend with somebody, then you just introduce with someone, you can't ask him, well, what are you doing with you and your wife in your house? What kind of activities are you doing? So this would not be a good question to ask if you just make friends with somebody. So similarly, neophyte devotees, they should not try to understand these intimate pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. And Prabhupada gave the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he only discussed intimate topics with Ramananda Roy, few devotees, handful. With Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he discussed philosophy. And for the mass of people, he had Harinam Sankirtan. And Prabhupada gave an example of one of these demons. It was in France, in the United Nations. Somebody wrote a book, some Bhattacharya, about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And the cover of the book was Radharani without any clothes on. So this was the cover of the book, Radharani naked. Prabhupada saw the book in France. He said it's published by the United Nations. So just imagine, they think they're doing a favor to spread Hindu Dharma, but actually they're destroying it. Destroying. So Prabhupada says, paragraph 3, in the middle, one should strictly follow the Vidhimarg regulative principles in the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. Although the Lord is present in the temple as Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna includes Lakshmi Narayan. Therefore, when one worships the Lord according to regulative principles, the Lord accepts service in the role of Lakshmi Narayan. Although there are 64 kinds of offenses one can commit in Vidhimarg worship and Ragamarg worship, there is no consideration of such offenses, because the devotees on that platform are very much elevated, and there is no question of offense. But if we do not follow the regulative principles on the Vidhimarg platform and keep our eyes trained to spot offenses, we will not make progress. So it's a very strong warning from Srila Prabhupada to the devotees not to take it cheaply, take devotional service cheaply. We have to be patient in our advancement in Krishna consciousness and don't jump to a higher level than we are. So paragraph 5, Prabhupada describes the four arms of Lord Vishnu have different purposes. Hands holding lotus flower and conch shell are meant for the devotees, whereas the other two hands, a disc and mace or club, are meant for the demons. And then in the last paragraph, Krishna's beauty is compared to a rainfall. So why is Krishna's beauty compared to a rainfall? What's the comparison of the rainfall to Krishna's beauty? Adi Purusha. After the hot summer season,
dark clouds are very pleasing.
Yes. People even come out in the rain, including us, the first rain, because it's so pleasing to see the first rain. Thus, the Lord's bodily features are compared to the clouds of the rainy season. The devotees enjoy the Lord's beauty because it is collection of all kinds of beauties. Therefore, the word sarva sandarya sangraha is used. No one can say body of the Lord is wanting in beautiful parts. It is completely purnam. So Prabhupada says later on, both materialists and spiritualists can enjoy the beauty of the Lord because the Supreme Lord attracts everyone, including demons and devotees. Materialists and spiritualists, he is called Krishna. Similarly, his devotees also attract everyone. It's mentioned in Sat Goswami Stotra. Jira Jira Jana Piya Piya Kara. The Goswamis are equally dear to the Tira devotees and Atira demons. Lord Krishna was not very pleasing to the demons when he was present in Vrindavan, but the six Goswamis were pleasing to the demons when they were present in Vrindavan. That is the beauty of the Lord's dealings with his devotees. Sometimes the Lord gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. So the example of the six Goswamis, the Sanatan Goswami, the different Goswamis, the ordinary people would go to visit Sanatan Goswami if the husband and wife were fighting with each other. Prabhupada says this on a tape, that the people in the village, they would go to Sanatan Goswami and ask him to settle their argument between husband and wife. And whatever Sanatan Goswami would say, they would follow. They would accept that. Haribo. We're having an electrical problem over here. Okay, it's all right. So there is an example here in the purport of how Krishna gives credit to his devotees, and that is Arjuna, the famous example, Nimitta Matram Vavasavi Sachin. What are the other examples where Krishna glorifies his devotee more than himself? Vanamali. Yes. Yes, he asked Lord Shiva to drink the poison. Yes. Any other examples? Sankirtan. Yes. Right. He had Bhishma destroy the doubts of Yudhisthira. Even Krishna could not console Yudhisthira, but Bhishma could. So there, he gave the credit to Bhishma. Any other examples? Right. Durvasa.
I have no power to clean up myself.
Right.
From that
Yes, when he sent Durvasa, said, I cannot help you. It's your Sudarshan. No, sorry. I cannot help you. You have to go to Ambarish. Vanamali. Yes, he gave it to Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya, that's the end of the credit. Prabhupada says, similarly in Krishna conscious movement, everything is happening according to the predictions of Lord Chaitanya. But the credit goes to Lord Chaitanya's sincere servants. As the Lord is described here in Esarva, Saundarya, Sangraham. So this is the beauty of Krishna, that he gives more credit to his devotees. Not just some, the external, of course, that is also there, but also his beautiful quality of giving credit to his devotees. Shaka. Lord Chaitanya's mercy to Haridas Thakur.
When Haridas Thakur was beaten in 24 marketplaces,
When he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, then Lord Chaitanya took. But Lord Haridas Thakur was glorified, actually, for the one who tolerated and prayed. Even for those people who were beating him, he was trying to help them out. Just imagine that. Something happens to us like that. Someone's beating us, so we're not praying for the person. Welfare. Please forgive them. Please let them advance. We want to also beat them. But anyway, these are the characteristics of the great devotees. So in this purport, I believe it was described Vidhi Marg and Raga Marg. Also Bhagavad Vidhi. Panchartiki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. Was a necessity of having both Panchartiki and Bhagavad Vidhi. What happens if we just have only Panchartika Vidhi, we just do deity worship. What's wrong with that? Isn't it sufficient? It was the Yuga Dharma, I believe, in one of the Yugas. So why not just Panchartika Vidhi? Was a necessity, yes. So Bhagavad Dharma gives us? Okay. So Bhagavad Vidhi helps us to preach, allows us to preach and give the mercy. Any other thing? Yes. Yes. It helps us to keep pure. Yes. Yes, Prabhupada often gives the example of temples in India that have deities, but no kirtan. No shravanam kirtan. After a while, people lose interest, they don't come, dogs come in and start living in the temple. And so they lose interest. It's just ringing the bell, but there's no shravanam kirtanam. Yes. Raga, yes, raga. That's what we heard yesterday. Burijan Prabhu was saying that the last two, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, are raga, Prabhupada says. But in another place, he says, Shavanam Kirtanam Smaranam, is in another purport, is Bhagwat. Bhagwat. And the other is Panchatriki. Yeah.
Sakyam and Atmanivedanam,
right. It does seem to be higher. Yeah, but there are references where Prabhupada... Actually, I think I even have it here. I think I have the reference. Oh, it's a lecture. Yes. I have it right here. Of the nine processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, that is Bhagavat Marg. And Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, that is Panchachiki Viti. So he doesn't mention Sakyam Apanivedanam. So both the vidhis, both the systems have been introduced. One will help the other. Simply Bhagavat Marg, simply memorizing, remembering. But of course, Panchachiki is recommended in the second canto, worshipping gigantic form. But combined together, it is very helpful. Bhagavat Marg will help Panchachiki Marg, and Panchachiki will help Bhagavat. Both together is helpful. So this is a lecture, Srila Prabhupada, in Gorakhpur, 71. There is also a purport where he says the same thing. It may be in one of my classes that's coming up, or it may have been in one of my previous classes, but I do remember that he says the same thing in one purport. Shavanam Kirtanam Smaranam is Bhagavat Marg, and Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Pancha Chikiviti. Interesting. So we heard Birjan, he read that Raga Marg is Sakyam Apanivedi. Yes. So different angles of vision, different angles of vision. Are there, even with Srila Prabhupada. He sees things differently. One time he sees one angle, and one time he sees another angle.
I think often it's because in the acharyas, right?
Yes, so he follows the acharyas.
So the acharyas may have different
Yes, Adi Purush.
Is Raga Marg the same as Bhagavad Marg?
That's a good question. Is Raga Marg the same as Bhagavad Marg? Here in this, it seems to be equated here in with Vitti. Here, Pancha Chiki Vitti is called Vitti Marg. Worship according to Bhagavad Vitti is called Raga Marg. It says in the purport in the first paragraph here. Yes, Maharaj.
And I think we should understand the statement in context of both our teachings.
Good.
Because,
good comment.
Because Bhagavad Marg, we put different classifications.
Yes, I would just say different ways of classifying, different angles, different ways of looking at it. So in one sense, it is. Bhagavad Marg is Raga Marg. But in another sense, it's not. So we have to see it both ways. Yes, Sukhita. Chapter 28, text 30. Right, right. That's the seven sons of Maliya Dwaj.
In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories.
Two categories. Raga Marg. Yes. So it's different ways of looking at it. It's different ways. Yes, Prabhu.
And still another way of going to
Rajbasis. Yes, to follow in the footsteps of the Rajbasis. Yes. So when Bhagavad Marg is equal to Raga Marg, then it's a very high level. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Different angles. Different ways. Right.
Right.
Mood is different. That's it. Very good. Thank you, Maharaj, for that comment. We'll go on now because we want to see Krishna's smiling face here. So this is the ultimate here. And I have some very wonderful comments on this that will explain what happens when Krishna smiles. This is verse 47 and 48. Pritipa hasita pangam malakairu pishogitam prasad pankashakinja katukulam ishtakundalam sura kirita balaya haru parame kalam shanta shakkara padma malaman yuttamahimat. The Lord is super excellently beautiful on account of his open and merciful smile and his sidelong glance upon his devotees. His black hair is curly, and his garments, waving in the wind, appear as flying saffron pollen from lotus flowers. His glittering earrings, shining helmet, bangles, garland, ankle bells, waist belt, and various other bodily ornaments combine with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower to increase the natural beauty of the Kaushubha pearl on his chest. So Srila Prabhupada explains in purport, the word prahasitapanga, referring to Krishna's smile and sidelong glances at his devotees, specifically applies to his dealings with the gopis. Krishna is always in a joking mood when he increases the feelings of conjugal rasa in the hearts of the gopis. Conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower can be either held in his hands or seen on the palms of his hands. So in this way, we can understand that the four symbols can also refer to Krishna. Krishna has these signs on his palms or his feet. Conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower. So not only is it referred to Vishnu, it refers to Krishna. He's the original before Vishnu. According to palmistry, the signs of conch shell, club, lotus flower, and disc mark the palms of great personalities and especially indicate the supreme personality of Godhead. So here, Lord Shiva is glorifying the sidelong glance of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has explained one thing that happens when Krishna casts his sidelong glance on someone. Does anybody know anything else? Any other things that happen? Madhavendra Puri. Saikshita. Yes. When he glances over Prakriti, then she's set into motion, the creation. Saikshita. Any other things that happen when Krishna casts his sidelong glance at you or somebody? Actually, when we read last year about Kardama Muni, it said that he had a brilliant effulgence. Although he engaged in austere penance for a long time, he was not emaciated, for the Lord had cast his affectionate sidelong glance upon him. So he was shining. He was effulgent, this Muni, because he got the glance of the Lord. Then there's a wonderful reference to this, which very technically explains what happens when Krishna smiles at you or when Krishna glances at you. This is from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 50. This is in reference to the when Lord Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys, and then he realized his mistake, and he looked at the calves and cowherd boys, they all transformed into Vishnu forms. So this is a description of the Vishnu form. This is 10:13, verse 50. Chandika Vishada Smirai Savana Pangalikshitai Sakartanam Ivaraja Satvabhyam Shasti Palaka. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resemble the increasing light of the moon, by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, and he quotes from, actually he doesn't quote, but he uses Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because if you read there's a book by Mahanidhi Swami with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. But Prabhupada's, if you compare the two of them, they're similar, but Prabhupada's is even more beautiful, I found, and gives more explanation than Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he speaks on the same line, that these Vishnu forms, as maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. So here, this is the important. Their smile resembled the mode of goodness, protecting all desires of the devotees. So when they smile on the devotees, they protect their desires. And their glancing resembled the mode of passion. So what happens when the Lord glances on you in the mode of passion? Actually, Prabhupada says it means in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual world, rajagun means not passion, but affection. So he glances with affection. And what happens when he glances at us with affection? That maintains us. So the smile protects our desires and the glance maintains us. But then there's another thing that happens, and this is commented by Sanatana Goswami. Because the desires of devotees have already been fulfilled, then the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. So when the Lord glances with his eyes upon us in passion, he creates more desires to serve him in devotional service. So the smile protects our desires, and the glance creates more desires in us to perform devotional service. So when we associate with passion in this world, we also get desires to do things in this world. But when we associate with Krishna, when he glances on us with passion or affection, then he creates desires in us to do service. Prabhupada gives an example in that purport of 10:13:50. He said, in Vrindavan, there is a place where there was no temple. But a devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. And that was Prabhupada's very sweet realization on this verse. This is one of the last verses that Prabhupada translated when he was on this planet. One of the very last verses. And we can understand that he had a very strong desire to have a temple here in Vrindavan. And Krishna fulfilled that desire even before Prabhupada left this world. In Bombay, the temple was after Prabhupada left. In Mayapur, the Mayapur temple hasn't happened yet, although it was his desire. But Vrindavan temple actually manifested for Srila Prabhupada to see before he left. So Rukmini Devi also explains what happens when the Lord glances passionately at her. This is 10:60:46. Astvam pusaksha mamate charna nirakat mandarasamai cha natirik tadishe yahyasya vi tayurpatara jyoti matra mamikshise taruhana paramanukampa. O Lotus Eyed One, though you are satisfied within yourself and thus rarely turn your attention toward me, please bless me with steady love for your feet. It is when you assume a predominance of passion in order to manifest the universe that you glance upon me, showing me what is indeed your greatest mercy. So in the purport, it's explained that Lord Krishna is satisfied, and Rukmini Devi is his internal potency. She's not really the material energy. So his loving affairs with her are actually pure. But here, Queen Rukmini humbly identifies herself with the Lord's external energy, which is her expansion. So she says, though you don't often look at me, because she's the material energy, he doesn't associate. When you are ready to manifest the material universe and begin to work through the material quality of passion, which is your potency, then you glance at me. In this way you show me your greatest mercy. So this is the glance of Lord Krishna. Very beautifully explained by Srila Prabhupada what happens. And of course, all we have to do is go into the temple if you want to get the glance of Lord Krishna. Krishna is here. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described, even the glance of a devotee, he can cause pure devotional service. If the devotee glances upon you, you can get pure devotional service. Isn't that in Nectar of Devotion, is it? Or Srinivasacharya. Oh, the bridegroom. Bridegroom was passing by, and Srinivas was standing on the balcony. They were newly married. He brought his wife home and went to Srinivas and joined him. Left his wife or? Left his wife. Ramachandra. That's Ramachandra, okay. He had also preached to him before. But then the glance did it. Okay. Prabhupada, many people had that experience with Srila Prabhupada, that it was the glance that did it. And they always remember the glance of Srila Prabhupada. And that's what they in fact, that's many devotees, that's all they got from Srila. They never got to speak with him. They just got the glance of Srila Prabhupada in a class or something like that, or in passing. And that was enough that now, okay, I'm giving my life for Krishna just because of that glance. Yes? Yes? When somebody became a devotee because of Prabhupada's glance. Yes? Yeah, most of us were.
But he wasn't really serious. He was never really serious in considering joining the temple. It was more like an interesting. So one time he came to the temple and Prabhupada was there, and he was just about to leave.
He was about to leave.
There was a car.
The crowd pushed him towards the car.
And he was
smashed against the car.
Smashed against the car, yeah. and his face was like smashed against a window behind which Prabhupada was sitting.
Oh.
And he was like, I'm just going to say it. And then the crowd went on, the car went on, and he was standing.
Yeah, so one devotee he was a hippie, not so serious, and he went to the temple. Prabhupada happened to be there. And then Prabhupada was leaving in his car, and there was a huge crowd, and somehow he got pushed to the front, and his face was plastered against the window, Prabhupada's window, and Prabhupada glanced at him, and that was it. And he became a devotee for life. I think Bhaktivikas Swami says that's all the association he also got with Prabhupada was a glance. Yes, Manamala.
One kind of diksha is...
One kind of diksha is a glance. Okay, I didn't know that. But I believe it's somewhere, it explained three ways you can... make it, you can get the mercy, is it? How you go from sadhana to bhava? By rigid execution of rules and regulations.
Heartfelt wishes.
Or by a glance. Okay. Is it true? Yes. Nectar of it's somewhere. It's in the scriptures. I remember reading that also. Three ways you can make advancement. One is by the glance, pure devotee. So this is the mercy of the devotees. They come here just to look at us, just to glance at us, just by their glance, by seeing them. Somebody, one devotee, became a devotee just by seeing Prabhupada's shadow. I don't know. Who was that? In France. The silhouette of Srila Prabhupada. Coming out from the plane, he saw the silhouette and that was it. He became a devotee. So this is Prabhupada's mercy. Even without preaching, He can do these things. Pure devotee. So that's the definition of Uttama Adhikari. Jainashringa's name? What's his name? Jainashringa? Prabhu. Okay. So this is even without preaching the devotee. That's the definition of one of the definitions of Uttama Adhikari, that just by seeing him, it makes you want to chant Hare Krishna and be a devotee of Krishna, just by seeing him. So verse 49, more description. Now we are on the shoulders of the Lord. Singa skanda tisho vipra sabhaga viva kashtivam shiyana paye yakshipta kasha shmala solasa. The Lord has shoulders just like a lion. Upon these shoulders are garlands, necklaces, and epaulets, and all of these are always glittering. Besides this, there is a beauty of the Kaushtubha mani pearl, and on the dark chest of the Lord there are streaks named Srivatsa, which are signs of the goddess of fortune. The glittering of these streaks excels the beauty of the golden streaks on a gold testing stone. Indeed, such beauty defeats a gold testing stone. So Bhrijan explains that there is a black stone, and if you rub the stone with fake gold, it comes out different colors. And if it's real gold, it comes out golden color, golden streak. So this golden streak looks like a Srivatsa, the chest of Krishna. You can't exactly see it here, but it's there. Srivatsa. Verse 50. Puradechakasam vipna valivagurtanotaram patisankaryadvisham nabhyavartakabhiraya. The Lord's abdomen is beautiful due to three ripples in the flesh. Being so round, his abdomen resembles the leaf of a banyan tree. And when he exhales and inhales, the movement of the ripples appears very, very beautiful. The coils within the navel of the Lord are so deep that it appears the entire universe sprouted out of it and yet again wishes to go back. So at the end of this purport, Prabhupada makes a very ironic comment. Impersonalists cannot appreciate the beautiful body of the Lord, which is described in these prayers by Lord Shiva. Although the impersonalists are always engaged in worship of Lord Shiva, they are unable to understand the prayers offered by Lord Shiva to the bodily features of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is known as Shiva Varinchinutam, for he is always worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So again, Prabhupada is having a dig at the impersonalists, even though there's nothing about, it's the opposite here, it's all about Krishna's beauty. But still, we have to tell the impersonalists that, you know, how foolish they are. Why don't you just come and you're worshipping Shiva, just see what's on Lord Shiva's mind, who Lord Shiva is worshipping. This is the point. Now, verse 51. Whoops. 50? That was 50. So now I'm on 51. Sham shonyatiro. Oh no, you're right. It's 50, right? Yeah. No, I did 50. 51. Sham shonyatiro chishnu tukula saname kalam samacharvan jankarunim yachanistarshanam. The lower part of Lord's waist is dark and covered with yellow garments and a belt bedecked with golden embroidery work. His symmetrical lotus feet, calves, thighs, and joints of his legs are extraordinarily beautiful. Indeed, the Lord's entire body appears to be well built. So again, middle of the purport, the impersonalists who generally worship Lord Shiva should learn of the transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha of the Lord. Here, Lord Shiva kindly describes the details of the Lord's bodily features. Thus, the impersonalist argument that the Lord has no form cannot be accepted under any circumstance. So this is the answer to the question, does the Lord have form? Yes, he has form. And we are describing it, we're hearing the form of Krishna. But nowadays, when people, you ask them, what is your conception of God? What do they say? Yes. G? Generator, operator, and destroyer. G-O-D. Generator, operator, and destroyer.
Not too bad.
Yeah, well, he's got something right, but... is very partial. A Hindu. G-O-D. Okay. Anybody, what else do they say? What is their conception? Yes. Okay, the form may be there. They may concede there's a form. But that should, we have to go beyond that to get to the power, energy, the force, the whatever, the light. This is the highest thing. There was one leader in the Church of England. He was asked, what is your conception of God? Archbishop, some archbishop in England. And his answer was, God is a burning bush. Because that's how he appeared in the Bible, as a burning bush. So this is the conception. So it could be Agni, actually, that they're that came, that they're worshiping. Anyway, this is their conception of God. They have no conception, actually, of the form of the Lord. Or if they do think the Lord has form, then he's very old. Very, very old man. Must be. Muscular too. Muscular old man. Yes. And sometimes there was one picture of God with no face, with a form and no face, but no face, faceless, faceless. Another, there was one comic, and there was God up in heaven, and he had a computer. He was going to push a button, you know, a thunderbolt was ready to fall on some poor guy down there. He was just ready to push the button for the thunderbolt to fall. That's our idea of God. That he's just ready to get you. Anyway, so many misconceptions. Yamaraj, yes. Yes, actually. For the atheist, he's Yamaraj. It's true. It's true. Now, verse 52. Again, more beautiful features of Krishna. So Lord Shiva, notice, he started from the top to the bottom. Usually, in our descriptions in Bhagavatam, they start, Kapila Dev started from the lotus feet. But Lord Shiva is ending with the lotus feet of the Lord. He started from the head and he ends with the lotus feet. Pada sharat padma palashara chisa naka tibirantak adam vidun pata pada shahasriyama pastasatvasam padam guru marga gurustamadrisham. My dear Lord, your two lotus feet are so beautiful that they appear like two blossoming petals of the lotus flower which grows during the autumn season. Indeed, the nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence that they immediately dissipate all the darkness in the heart of a conditioned soul. My dear Lord, kindly show me that form of yours which always dissipates all kinds of darkness in the heart of a devotee. My dear Lord, you are the supreme spiritual master of everyone. Therefore, all conditioned souls covered with the darkness of ignorance can be enlightened by you as a spiritual master. So anyone have this experience? Sometimes you go and you see the deity and all the problems just disappear. Not often, but sometimes. At least one problem may disappear. So, in Prabhupada's presence, he was very powerful. You couldn't remember. If you look at his face and he says, is everything all right? Then, as Burijan Prabhu said, yes, everything was all right because we were with him.
Were there any questions?
Yes, they were all answered. So here in paragraph 2, Burijan gives a nice comment. He said, Prabhupada said, if you have a problem you can't handle, you should go tell Lord Balaram. Nice comment there. So we can try this out because I'm sure all of us have problems. So paragraph 2. Beauty of the lotus feet of the Lord is compared to the petals of a lotus flower which grows in the autumn season. By nature's law, in autumn, the dirty or muddy waters of rivers and lakes become very clean. At that time, the lotus flowers growing in the lakes appear very bright and beautiful. The lotus flower itself is compared to the lotus feet of the Lord, and the petals are compared to the nails of the feet of the Lord. The nails of the feet of the Lord are very bright, as Brahma Samhita testifies. Ananda chinmaya sadhu jala vigrahasya. Every limb of the transcendental body of the Lord is made of ananda chinmaya sadujala. Thus every limb is eternally bright. So how is it that the darkness in the heart is vanquished? What does Prabhupada say? What is the actual process? Yes. Yes. The Lord within is the effulgence of the nails of the Lord's lotus feet. Dami bodhi okam tam. It's the nails of the Lord's lotus feet. They enlighten us. And that is after the quote, Om Agyana Timirandasya. The effulgence of the nails of his lotus feet enlightens us. Japlasha? Yes. Yes. That's the verse you have to learn for 4:22? 39. The devotees engage in the service of the toes of the lotus feet because they're very effulgent. They're petals. So just as sunshine dissipates the darkness of the material world, this is in the purport, the effulgence emanating from the body of the Lord immediately dries up the darkness in the heart of the conditioned soul. In other words, everyone serious about understanding transcendental science and seeing transcendental form of the Lord must first of all attempt to see the lotus feet of the Lord by studying the first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's our attempt to see the lotus feet of the Lord. When one sees the lotus feet of the Lord, all kinds of doubts and fears within the heart are vanquished. Bhagavad Gita, it is said, in order to make spiritual progress, one must become fearless. Abhayam sattva sangshati. Then a little bit down. Without being fearless, one cannot be joyful. The bhaktas, devotees, are fearless and always joyful because they are constantly engaged in service of the lotus feet of the Lord. So Revati Nandan Prabhu was remembering, he had a memory of Srila Prabhupada. And he was a book distributor in the early days. So one day he didn't feel like distributing books, although he was very good at it. So he went out, but he didn't engage himself, completely on purpose. He says, oh, I just don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. And he was miserable, and his legs were hurting, and his mind was disturbed. And then he came back to the temple. Prabhupada was there at the temple at this time. He avoided the evening kirtan. This was, I don't know which temple. I think it was on the west coast. Because why he didn't go to the kirtan, he was thinking, oh, I'll just leave, I'll just go away. But if I hear the kirtan, I might get stuck here again because I might get attached to it. But then he did go to Prabhupada's class. Prabhupada was giving evening Bhagavad Gita class. So during the class, Srila Prabhupada said, the symptom of someone engaging in devotional service is he's always jolly. If he's not engaging properly, then he'll be miserable. So Evati Nandan Prabhu had his head down. When Prabhupada said that, he looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was staring directly at him. So he knew Prabhupada was preaching to him. And so he said, Prabhupada had the ability to know exactly where we were in spiritual life. So Evati Nandan Prabhu, he didn't leave, he stayed. Because Prabhupada's glance made him stay in devotional service. So here in the purport, very nice verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam prasana manasa bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukti sanyasa jayate. By practicing bhagavat bhakti yoga, one becomes fearless and joyful. Unless one becomes fearless and joyful, he cannot understand the science of God. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukti sanyasa jayate. This verse refers to those who are completely liberated from the fearfulness of this material world. When one is so liberated, he can really understand the transcendental features of the form of the Lord. So then this is what is explained. Then we get enlightened by the effulgence of the nails of the lotus feet. And Prabhupada finally finishes with the verse, Yasya deve para bhaktirata deve tathagura tisayate katita yata prakashan timaratmana. For one who has unflinching faith in the lotus feet of the Lord and the spiritual master, the real import of Vedic knowledge is revealed. So here it's explained about the enlightenment from within. What are some other verses that explain this enlightenment in the heart. Tesham satata yuktanam, vachitam pratipurvakam. Anything else, Patri? Same one? Tesham evanukam partam. Furthermore, Tesham evanukam partam. Yes, Bhagavad Gita 10.10 and 10.11. Also, in the second canto, 8th chapter, the sound incarnation of Bhagavatam enters the heart and cleanses the heart of all the dirty water. It sits on the lotus flower of our relationship with Krishna. Also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the second verse, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Saharita Gaurayai Pushanta Chicha Shandatamanita. And Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that Gorni Thai appear in our hearts to destroy the darkness of ignorance. And then after they appear in our hearts, then they show us, they introduce us to the two types of Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. And after we have association with the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat, the next thing that happens is they give us bhakti in the heart. So these are the different steps. First we get it, the ignorance is destroyed by Gorni Thai, by the holy name. And then after that, we have association with the Bhagavatas. And after that, we get bhakti. So wonderful process, joyful process. Then we become joyful. I was reading this lecture at my house, and my son said, well, what happened to you? Anyway, realization is yet to come. This one. About if you're not joyful, then... No, that's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adilila, verse 2. And there's an explanation of that verse later on in Adi, first chapter. It's in there. It's all in there. And it gives many different steps. It starts around 90, in the 90s, and it goes through the 100, 101, 102. It gives it a step-by-step explanation of how Gorni Thai come into our heart just like the sun. And Krishnadas Kaviraj says, this ordinary sun, it can destroy the darkness, and you can see, it reveals to us ordinary things like plates and pots. But when Gorni Thai, the son of Gorni Thai, appears in our hearts, then we can see the spiritual world. This explanation is given, what happens, the step-by-step process of enlightenment within the heart. So verse 53, the last verse we'll read today. Itarupa manutyam atmashurim abhipsatam yabhakti yoga vayada satarma manutishtam. My dear Lord, those who desire to purify their existence must always engage in meditation of your lotus feet as described above. Those who are serious about executing their occupational duties and who want freedom from fear must also take to this process of bhakti yoga. So, in this verse, there are three types of people who are encouraged to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. So one type of person wants to purify their existence. Which type of person is this? Which class of people want to purify their existence? Gyanis? You say Gyanis? I vote for somebody else. Bhaktas? No, even... Not bhaktas. Of course, bhaktas want all these things. We all want to purify our existence. But in the Purport, Prabhupada explains that there are three different types of people who may not be bhaktas, may or may not be bhaktas, but they're on the way. And these three types of people are karmis, gyanis, and yogis. So purification of existence, this is the goal of the yogis, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 5th chapter, that I can't remember the exact. Kayena manasa bhutya kevalaya ndiyarapi. Yoginam karma kurvanti. Anyway, so they want to purify their existence, the yogis. Then prescribed duties. Those who want to perform prescribed duties, occupational duties, that's the karmis. And those who want freedom from fear are the gyanis. Because if Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita that the gyanis, they're afraid of the personal realization of the Lord. There's attachment to, Raga, Devesha? No, Raga, Bhaya, and Krodha. Three types of attachment. So the Gyanis, the impersonalists, they have the problem with bhaya, with fear, fearfulness of spiritual life, because they're afraid of form. They're averse to the material world. They're afraid of this world. They want to get out. They're afraid of the spiritual world too. So then, this Prabhupada explains in the purport, end of paragraph 1, about the yogis. This is the real business of the yogis, to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore advises one who is actually serious about purification must engage himself in this type of meditation or in the mystic yoga system, which will help him not only to see the Lord within constantly, but to see him face to face and become his associate in Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. So then, the last paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada says, God is known to be unconquerable, but one who submissively hears the words of a self-realized soul conquers the unconquerable. So which verse? Stane stita shutikatam danovam manobhir. He's paraphrasing this verse. So then the conclusion is, if one is serious about liberation, he not only should execute occupational duties of varnashram dharma, but should also engage in bhakti yoga by beginning hearing from a realized soul. This process will help a devotee conquer the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his associate after giving up the material body. So this is our path of bhakti yoga, path of the Paramahansas, described in Second Canto. And this is a path followed by the Prachetas, taught by Lord Shiva, taught by Srila Prabhupada. So we're hearing the beauty of Lord Krishna, and by such hearing we can also conquer Krishna, although he's Ajita. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments on today's class? Hare Krishna.
Why would Shiva start with the face?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? The question is, why does Lord Shiva start his meditation with the face? It starts with the face and ends with the lotus feet. Parvati says, Lord Shiva can start with the face. Anybody argue with that? Yad yada chadati sheshtast. So should we follow? Yes. Kapiladev starts with the feet. Lord Shiva starts with the face. Where does Kunti start with? With the waist. With the waist. Yeah, so evident, because why did she start with the waist? Because she's the mother, like mother. So Lord Shiva must have some kind of relationship with Krishna. That is, yes. For us, it's the feet. But if you're attracted, then why not the face? Yes? Yes. Yes, he says that. 52. He's praying that, starting from the feet. Although, because Lord Shiva is, his position is on a level of equality almost with Lord Vishnu, in one sense. So therefore he starts with the face, but his real mentality is very nicely being pointed out by Guru Sevananda Prabhu, that Prabhupada is saying in the purport, he wants to see the lotus feet. That's his actual desire. Yes? Madhvanapuri. He entered the Rasa dance. He had the privilege of entering the Rasa dance. So therefore he can start from the face.
He did not enter the Rasa dance.
He was guarding it. He didn't enter, but he... Okay. So, anyway, we can understand that for some reason he has a more intimate relationship with the Lord, so therefore he starts from the face. It would be improper for him to start with the feet. Whereas we can just see it, just for me it reveals his actual position and his relationship, that he is an expansion of the Lord. He's not Jiva Tattva. He's an expansion, but milk turned into yogurt. So therefore he starts with the face also. Yes? No, he desires. He desires to start with the feet. That's what he was saying. He says that he didn't start it with the feet, but he desires to start with the feet. Okay. Okay, let's look in the previous verse. Which verse? 44. Okay, the first verse. Let's look there. Okay, so your answer is that the very dear devotees, that means the highest devotees. And also, Prabhupada seems to support that in his purport 47-48, because there he says it's the gopis. He does mention the gopis. And right in the beginning, when he starts the meditation on the smile, from the top, then he says, yes, it's the gopis. These are the very dear devotees who want to see Krishna in this form. Yes. That's what Prabhupada says, too. That's his aspiration. So Prabhupada is also confirming Shyama Sundara, Govinda, Venu Kananta Maravinda. That was the what Prabhupada quoted. This is the form that Lord Shiva wants to see. And you read the Leela, they're always seeing the face. They're always waiting for the sidelong glance of Krishna.
And also the sidelong glance is also another indication that
he wants to see. Yeah, sidelong glance is another indication, because that's a special characteristic of Lord Krishna. The sidelong glance. Sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. Yes. So we heard yesterday the very formal aspect of the prayers, the Chaturvyuha, the forms in this world, and today we're hearing more intimate mind of Lord Shiva. Actually, he wants to see this form. This is the form he really wants to see. He didn't say that for Vasudeva and all those forms, but for this form, this is the one the devotees always want to see. So, of course, he had the other forms first, but actually the ultimate is Krishna. So therefore he describes Lord Krishna in these verses. And he finished his prayers Tuesday, we heard, with Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna, and then he goes on to describe Krishna, because the word Krishna was right there in the Sanskrit. In verse 42, the word Krishna is there. So therefore it follows that now he's going to describe Lord Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.